Hello and welcome to Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is a chiropractor, energetic healing practitioner, noted public speaker, teacher, and published author. This session will be an exploration in finding true balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. Dr. Eileen will be discussing holistic wellness through indigenous traditions from across the globe and across generations. We then invite you to call in and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Healing House Radio. I'm Dr. Eileen, and today we are talking about energetic healing. Now, in most cases, when people think of that, a lot of times they'll think of Reiki or some of the big name energetic healing traditions, Vortex, Matrix, things like that. But really when it comes down to it, energetic healing is when you allow the energy of the universe, God, Creator, Allah, whatever you're envisioning of any type of supreme intelligence and consciousness in the universe, allowing that energy to move through you and incorporate into someone else or something else, and allow healing to take place. So when we talk about that, a lot of times folks will kind of think of it as, you know, it's alternative. It is something that is not really viewed in the mainstream as, you know, something with, you know, therapeutic effects that are validated by science. Well, guess again. I'm going to be talking a little bit today about energetic healing, but I'm also going to talk about some of the science that's been done behind it, research that supports what we do and that really does a beautiful job of saying, you know what, energetic healing does make a difference. I'm going to share with you, it's just the abstract, on a research done at Stanford University right here in California, called Energy Healing, a Complementary Treatment for Orthopedic and Other Conditions. Now, it says here, complementary and alternative therapies continue to grow in popularity among healthcare consumers. Among those modalities is energetic healing. Energetic healing is an adjunctive treatment that is non-invasive and poses little downside risk to patients. Well, more than 50 major hospitals and clinics throughout the United States offer energetic healing to patients. The National Institute of Health is funding numerous energetic healing studies that are examining its effects on a variety of conditions, including temporomandibular joint disorders, wrist fractures, cardiovascular health, cancer, wound healing, neonatal stress, pain, fibromyalgia, and AIDS. Several well-designed studies to date show significant outcomes for such conditions as wound healing and advanced AIDS, and positive results for pain and anxiety, among others. It is also suggested that energetic healing may have positive effects on various orthopedic conditions, including fracture healing, arthritis, and muscle and connective tissues. Because negative outcome risk is at or near zero throughout the literature, energetic healing is a candidate for use on many medical conditions. This is out of Stanford. I've got some other stuff that I'll be sharing with you a little bit later in the show. And, you know, it just really, this has come, is coming out. Now, this report was done in 2005. And, you know, there's a lot of work around the science of energetic healing and scientific validation of it. And, in fact, there's a really great book that I came across some time ago. It's called Spiritual Healing, Scientific Validation of a Healing Revolution. And it's written by Daniel J. Benor, who's an MD. And the book is just, it's an amazing collection of research that's been done, and it's broken down and simplified. So, I mean, it doesn't read like a textbook. It reads like something that, you know, you could pick up and really get the meat and potatoes out of. It really brings forth, you know, what is being tested, how it's being tested. You know, these are all things that are going through the exact same stringent, you know, research requirements as any other form of research. And the really amazing thing is that, you know, MDs, you know, standard, you know, traditional medical viewpoints are really shifting in a big way to incorporate that. Kaiser Hospital now incorporates acupuncturists. So there is a really big shift in consciousness regarding allowing the fact that this energetic form of healing is completely valid. So let me give you our numbers for our friends in the L.A. area. The area code is 424-258-9337. And for everybody else, everywhere else, you can call in toll-free 877-697-9725. So if you have any comments or questions, just go ahead and call in. So let's talk a little bit on the spiritual side of energetic healing. Now, as I said, it really does not require any particular philosophical viewpoint to, you know, to attach to. It's not that you have to, you know, go with any particular religious practice. Although pretty much, you know, almost all religious practices employ some aspect of healing, whether it's maybe referred to as laying on of hands, or it is just the idea that, you know, people get together and they will pray over someone. All of that has an energetic component. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. I have a friend who is basically an atheist and can still do energetic healing because it comes from that place of really just wanting the best for someone and for allowing whatever is out there to move through you. One of the interesting things that, you know, when we talk about different forms of energetic healing, the idea of whether or not it can be directed or guided. Now, and if I totally honor the Reiki practitioners, I'm a Reiki practitioner myself, and the idea that Reiki can be guided really kind of goes against the concept of Reiki, which is that you are an empty vessel, that the Reiki energy is innately intelligent, and it goes to where it needs to go. Now, that means that maybe if the person, say, you know, if you have, as a practitioner, someone come to you who has a headache and they would like Reiki for their headache, by the concepts of Reiki, you cannot do Reiki for a headache because it may be that their headache doesn't get better, but their relationship with someone else does. Their headache may not get better, but maybe pain or discomfort somewhere else is resolved. Some forms of energetic healing are directional and can be worked with in a way that it will focus on a particular area. So it's really very much individualized how each person manages it themselves. I mean, yeah, how many of us haven't held, you know, a small child that's been hurt and, you know, they come to you and they're crying and they're upset and you hold on to them and, you know, you want them to feel better and, you know, you just stay there with them, maybe sing them a song or tell them it's not that bad and they're okay. You know, how is that different from any other form of energetic healing, where your will is that this person receives the absolute best of what is available for them? So when we talk about the practitioner and the process of energetic healing and how individualized it is, I came across a really interesting piece of research where it talks about the effects of Reiki treatment on bacterial cultures. Okay, stick with me here. The idea is that there were two focuses of this particular study, and this was from 2006. And it was through the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. And it was performed at the Institute for Frontier Science in Oakland, California. So there were two pieces to this research. One, they wanted to see if Reiki actually had an effect on bacteria. Then they also wanted to see what was the relationship between that effect and the state of well-being of the practitioner. So, I mean, really interesting idea, because most people just really focus on the end product, which is, you know, the healee, the person, you know, being treated. But I found it interesting when looking at this research, when it talked about the effect and, you know, that would be had by practitioners in different states of well-being. So what they did was they took bacterial cultures, and, you know, basically they had Reiki practitioners who, you know, some of whom gave, you know, there was placebo treatment, some did, you know, distance healing, some did, you know, hands-on healing. And so, you know, they studied this, but they also did research on the practitioners themselves, and they were given a survey that talked about their state of well-being emotionally, mentally, and physically. Well, I was really interested to find out that, first off, that the cultures that were given Reiki actually had an improved rate of growth that was, you know, significant. And the other thing was that the level of well-being of the practitioners correlated directly with how much growth was in the bacterial culture. So, you know, this tells us that the idea that you do not go into a healing when you are not really in your good place. You know, if you've got stuff going on, if you've got, you know, issues that are coming up. Now, in a lot of cases, if you're, you know, doing energy work, you also receive, because that energy is moving through you, you also receive collateral healing. That being said, it's really important that as practitioners and as healers, we really take responsibility and understand the importance that, you know, we don't go into this with our minds scattered. We don't go into this thinking about, you know, something that is, you know, kind of gnawing at us. We don't go into it if physically we're not feeling well enough to be able to manage that. It's, you know, really been made apparent to me, both as someone who has received energetic healings of different forms and as a practitioner, that, you know, if I'm working on someone and, you know, I go into it and I know it's like, you know what? No, it's not, because we can feel it. We can feel that vibration. There's a certain clarity. And, you know, for practitioners all over the place, no matter what you practice, when you're really in that place of clarity with it, it is amazing. You can feel it. It's really clear, and it just moves through you in such a beautiful way. Conversely, when we're not in our good space, we know it. We know that it's not running as clear. And ultimately, the prime concern is the person you're working with. Even if it means you have to back out of a healing, even if it means you've got to say, you know what, hold on a second, and you've got to call up one of your friends and say, you know what, I've got this work I need to do, and I'm not there to be able to do it. You know, I can't get into the space I need to be in. Is there any chance you can come over and, you know, take over for me, or, you know, can I send this person to you? It is so important, because when people come to us, they come to us with trust. Absolute trust, and that trust needs to be earned every single time. It doesn't matter if this person has been seeing you for a long time. You know, that's one of the things that I've noticed, is that, you know, when people come back to a practitioner and a friendship is developed, which is awesome and beautiful and great, the problem is that there's a certain, when that familiarity comes in, we have a tendency to fall away from, you know, the process. And then it's like, oh, yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, gee, what's it? You know, it's, you got to stay in your space. You got to make sure that that friendship piece, while it's a wonderful addition, that it does not detract from the work at hand. Because it's when we fall into moments like that, we have a tendency to lose a little bit of our focus. And we need to maintain that. And you know, now that we are having research that comes up that is saying, you know what, this does have an effect, and it is a responsibility, and, you know, that the scientific communities are coming up to really support this work. You know, it's just an awesome thing. So one of the things, another article that I came on or came across, it is through the Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine publication. This was from 2004, and that is the Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine. It's an international scientific forum for reviewing and going through peer-reviewed information to healthcare professionals. Now, understand, you know, and there may be a few of you who don't understand about peer review. When something is peer reviewed, that means it goes before, the concept goes before a committee. The group is able to go through it and they pick apart everything in it. And then it goes to another committee. And then it's able to be published once it's been through all of these things. And you know, it's really, you know, this isn't just like, okay, we're going to write it down and, you know, send it out there. These are things that are supported by science, and they do not hold this type of research to, you know, any other standard other than, you know, what everything else is held to. So this particular research piece talks about the long-term effects of energetic healing on symptoms of psychological depression and self-perceived stress. So, you know, they went over and they did research where patients were treated for a specific amount of time, where they were given a, you know, either a placebo treatment or they were given, you know, an actual Reiki treatment. And what the, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of details and everything and, you know, to talk about the results. Bottom line, the conclusion was that the Reiki was able to improve symptoms and reduce the intensity of the symptoms. Upon completion of treatment, there was a significant reduction in symptoms of psychological distress in treatment groups as compared to control groups. And these differences continued to be present for a year later. So, you know, it's just amazing that now, you know, all this support is coming in. All of this support is, you know, really, you know, the scientific community is really coming up behind us. And, you know, I have absolute respect for, you know, my brothers and sisters in, you know, Western medical tradition. It, you know, they do such amazing work. And there really is, you know, kind of a little bit of stress because, you know, they kind of expect to be bashed by us, quite honestly. And, you know, there are those out there who are really, you know, putting out some very hard energy about, you know, it's like, oh, well, you're going to a Western doctor and, you know, you really need to be doing this and they're all crooks and they all push medicines. It's like, you know what? They don't all do anything. You know, there are those, yes, there are those who do that. And there are those who are out there just really who want the absolute best for their patients. And the best thing that we can do as practitioners is, you know, to support a very wonderful collective mentality to, you know, be able to allow, you know, us to be able to all work together because it's all about benefiting the person who has come to you with trust. So I want to, you know, really just stress how much I really find it very exciting that all of this research is coming out. And, you know, I mean, and there's research that dates back to, you know, the 50s and 60s. And, you know, if you really go back, they've been researching this stuff for a really long time. And there seems to be a gap in there of time where the research really went down, like, you know, around the, you know, the 70s and 80s, you know, there was really kind of a crunch to, you know, kind of suppress a lot of this stuff. You know, as the 90s kicked in, that started moving up again. And, you know, and now, you know, it really is, you know, current research is just doing well. and, you know, we're supported and we're respected, and hospitals are incorporating this type of work. There was a anecdotal story that I was told, and it was regarding a doctor who went to go work at a prison. And the idea that, I mean, and this was like, you know, a prison that had just like the hardest of the hardest, the really the maladjusted and just really bad. So what he did was he took all the patient files, and each night he would go over each one, and he would just really focus the meditation on each one of those files, and he would say, you know what, I forgive you. I forgive you for whatever you've done, and I'm sorry for whatever happened to you that brought you to this place. And he just did prayers and prayers and prayers over these files. Well, what they found was that the behavior problems in the prison began to go down, and they began to reduce more and more. Patients who were just really, you know, off the edge, you know, were becoming more docile and becoming, you know, easier to work with. And it reached the point where, you know, some of these people actually were able to be moved out of this high security prison, you know, into other places where they could get some help. And it, you know, reached the point where they ended up closing the prison because, you know, the patients all were just, you know, really, you know, they were able to move forward. They were able to get past those blocks. And one of the first things that, you know, we need to really focus on is, one, the idea that that person is perfect really as they are. And it may seem counterintuitive. It's the idea that we cannot go in with expectation. We cannot go in with the idea that, oh, you know, well, we are going to fix something. It's like, you know what, if anything, and, you know, the point of view that I have, and, you know, and I really, you know, admire everyone's way. As long as it hurts no one, I love it. If it's, my mother used to say, if it works for you, I love it for you. But what we have to really consider is, are we going to it from a place of ego? Are we going into the healing with the expectation of an outcome? It's like, okay, I want this person healthy. I want this person well. You know, someone who's very, very ill. You know, it may not be. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, we call in what is for their highest good, but we have to allow that what may be for that person's highest good is the ability to transition out of this life and to be able to hold that and to be able to say, you know what, whatever outcome, it is what they need. And to be able to be in that place of just holding space for them and holding them as sacred, allowing that energy to go through, and even if it's directional, allowing it to move through, but then letting go. You know, you lead, you know, the person to that pathway, and then you get out of the way so that they can make their own choices. Sometimes people deep down, maybe they don't really, you know, for some reason, there is a payoff for their illness. And so they will call it back into themselves. So, you know, as practitioners, you know, always know that whatever happens, it's really what's meant to happen. And be gentle with yourself. Don't get, it's like, oh, my God, they're, you know, they called me up and their headache was worse and da-da-da-da. It's like, you know what? The energy knows what it's doing. Just trust that. And, you know, always take care of yourself. Make sure that, you know, you are supporting yourself, you're taking good care of yourself, you're coming into the healing, you know, with that feeling of the sacredness of it, of being honored that you are chosen as a vessel for this. So that is really, really wonderful. So, you know, blessings to all of you in all of your healing practices. So I have a couple of announcements to make. One, next Thursday, I will be offline. So I have, you know, the wonderful pleasure of having my friend Norbeth, my friend and teacher Norbeth, who will be stepping in for me next Thursday. And what he plans to talk about, I have no idea, but it's always something very interesting, and it's always tremendously cool. So you can listen in for that, because it's always, you know, a lot of fun to have him step in and share some of his life experiences and wisdom and all that great stuff. Okay, on the 17th, I will have with me a special guest, Debbie Belmaseri, who is the author of the book that I added a chapter to called Tapping into God. And so she's going to be on that day, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun to have Deb, to talk to Debbie, and she's so passionate about her work and the idea of expanding this concept of, you know, people connecting with different, you know, with their higher selves, with the universe in different ways. And so she gathered a whole bunch of different stories and traditions and put them all together in a book. And, you know, it's really, really just was so wonderful to participate in. So she's going to be on talking about that on the 17th. This Saturday, we have it's an amazing experience of, there's a tradition called the Native American Sweat Lodge. Well, this is an experiential type of lodge. It allows you to be able to connect with that tradition, to be able to experience it in a way that is for everyone. And, you know, it's an amazing practice. It's an amazing way of being. And while it is not attached to, you know, the First Nation tribes, the way that this one is, it's called the Universal Sweat. And the idea behind it is that it will allow you to have an experience of being able to, you know, feel what it is like in a lodge. And for those of you who are in the Bay Area, that is going to be up at Dharma Ridge in Los Gatos. If you have any questions about it, you can contact Norbeth at 408-315-3078, or you can reach me at 408-313-7641. So that's going to be this Saturday. The ceremonial fire will start at 8 a.m. and we'll be going in probably at about 10 a.m., depending on, you know, how the fire goes. So, but again, you know, this is an experiential type of lodge, which means that it is not specific to a tribal tradition. So that is a lot of fun. And also what we have is we've got a lot of events coming up. We've got the Spirit Walker class, and we have that is going to be on November 19th. I'll be doing a workshop on public speaking on December 10th at here at the Center for Creative Living, and we will be doing all kinds of stuff. So check out, you can check out the Divine Events Meetup at meetup.com, and then you type in Divine Events, and you'll see calendars of all of our events. You can also find out more about what I'm doing at www.the-healing-house.com, and you can find out other stuff that's going on. So let's see, is there anything else going on? Well, on December 22nd, I will be a guest speaker for a group called Open to Light 2011 Speaker Series. It's called Many Paths, One Faith. So I'll be there discussing Druidry and connections with Earth Medicine. So pretty much that's probably about it for today's show. And I want to thank everybody for listening in. You will be hearing from me in 2 weeks, and as I said, next week Norbeth will be here, and he will be taking over my show. So I just want you guys all to have a wonderful time, all you practitioners, all you folks who are receiving healing, because in our own way, we all receive healing. And the best of blessings and balance to each and every one of you. So I really want to thank you all for being with me, and I look forward to speaking with you again the next time I'm back. Take care and be blessed.